Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 9. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. Let's go ahead and read those verses and then we'll dig into them. Verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Okay, Paul's wrapping up the letter now. He's giving some greetings and instructions and guidance as this letter is finishing up here. And he mentions Tychicus. Tychicus is a man who gives us a valiant example to follow. And I want us to take a look at that tonight. You know, a study has disclosed, according to one source here, disclosed that if both mom and dad attend church faithfully, 72% of their children remain faithful to God. The same report said that if dad alone is faithful to church and not mom, 55% of the children will be faithful. If only mom is faithful to church, 15% of the children will be faithful. If neither mom or dad faithfully attend church, and the kids maybe go to Sunday school, only 6% remain faithful. One of the big things we learn from this, these statistics, are that our example is very important. Our example is very important. And here we find a man who left us with a great example. And I want to point out some things about his example that can be of help to us. And I want us, each one, to ask God to help us to put these qualities in our own lives so that we can be that kind of an example. First of all here, notice that Tychicus was a companion of the Apostle Paul. Verse number 7, he says, Paul says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Tychicus here is one of Paul's companions. And he is a native of Asia. We see this from other scriptures. Now take a look at my map here. All right, so you can get your gears together. Israel's over here. You got Syria up here, and this was Asia Minor at that time, but it's Turkey now. But Asia was this section right over here where all the seven churches from Revelation are in Asia. All right, so they're all over there, the Ephesus and all the other ones are over in there. So this was Asia. He was from Asia, and he was a believer from that area. He knew and loved the Lord, and he chose to travel with Paul. You know, that's a significant truth right there. The very fact that he chose to be a fellow laborer with Paul is amazing. And we know nothing about his age or his family, but one thing we do know, he was willing to give up a career to serve the Lord. Here's a man that chose to follow Paul. Now, that alone is a big step. You know, you might think, whoa, what an amazing thing to be able to be with Paul. Well, stop and think about that. If you're a close companion of Paul and you get the same thing he gets, it wasn't such a jolly time. Paul was hated everywhere he went. He was persecuted everywhere he went. Traveling with Paul in the first century was not very glamorous. You know, daily hardships. You know, Paul makes comments several times of how he was working to pay his own way as he went. And we know he was a tent maker, so he probably dragged along with him whatever gear he needed for cutting and sewing the cloth and to make these tents and the skills that went along with that. And wherever he went, he would look for opportunities. Maybe first thing he'd do when he'd go to town, probably go to the place where they sell the material and sell those kind of things and buy his supplies he needs and start sewing up some tents and putting his little sign out, tents for sale, trying to get rid of some tents to be able to make a living for himself. And maybe he, you know, went to places where they needed repair and volunteered as a casual worker or something. We don't know, but we know one thing. He said that everywhere he went, he provided for himself. Life was not easy. He had a difficult job. Plus, he was preaching at every opportunity. And many times, he was not well liked. I mean, they're in Ephesus where Tychicus first meets him and travels with him. At Ephesus, Paul was the center of a riot. They were trying to kill him. They're in Acts chapter 20. Let me just read a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 20 so we can get the context of what's taking place there. In chapter 19, there's this big riot, and the whole city is in uproar, and the town clerk has to calm things down in verse number 35, and they finally send the people away. But there was a great danger here, and we begin in verse number 1 of chapter 20, and we see here, it says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, departed for to go unto Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him unto Asia Sopater of Berea." All right, now Berea is up here. All right, so Berea is right over here. So Sopater from Berea. And the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Sundus. All right, so they're from Thessalonica here. All right, and then Gaius from Derbe. And I don't have Derby on my map, so I can't. Derby was over here further. And then Timothy and Derby and Timotheus, or Timothy. So Derby and Lystra, that's right. They were over here in the middle of Asia, over here where Galatia, where Timothy was from. And then he says Tychicus and Trophimus from Asia. All right, so they were from Asia in this area here. So these are the men that were with Paul during this time. And these going before tarried for us at Troas. All right, now Troas was up here. All right, so they waited for him. So they were over here. They traveled back over this way to get over to Asia because they didn't want to sail across here because they were waiting to kill him. So Tychicus was one of those who traveled with him. All right, dangerous life. And to give up your whatever profession it was that Tychicus was. So let's say, let's just, you know, give some examples. Let's just say he was a young man. Maybe he was in his early 20s. Hadn't really established anything in his life. But here he's devoted himself to travel with this missionary that's constantly under attack and threatened and tried to be murdered. And he's one of them. Maybe he was later on in life. Maybe he was a little older. And he left family and friends to go and travel with Paul. Not an easy thing. And so we know that this was an amazing example in his life that he chose to befriend the Apostle Paul in a dangerous life. You know, the type of friends that you choose to hang around with and identify with say a lot about who you are. All right? Your choice of friends speaks volumes about your character because the kind of people that you are with reflect the kind of person that you really are. If you choose dodgy friends, it means you're a dodgy person. You know, that's just the way it is. Because we, you know, that little old phrase, that it's not a Bible phrase, but birds of a feather flock together. You know, and that is so true. People enjoy people like them. And so if you have friends that you know don't like church, don't like God, don't like to be around spiritual things, they're not very good friends. They're going to lead you the wrong way. They're going to lead you astray. And those aren't the kind of friends that you want. Now, there's nothing wrong with being friendly toward those kind of people, but making them friends is not a wise choice. Tychicus here made Paul his friend and determined to be his companion, even if it cost him his life. We find also a second characteristic here is that Tychicus was called by the apostle here a beloved brother. What a title. What a title. He says here, Tychicus will declare unto you who is a beloved brother. He's a beloved brother. Now, first of all, this tells us that he was a brother in Christ. He knew the Lord as his Savior. He had repented of his sins and trusted the Lord and was a child of God, and Paul considered him a brother in Christ. Just two verses later, did you see we saw that phrase again? In verse number 9, it says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now, who was Onesimus? Well, he was that slave that ran away from his master, Philemon, and Paul met him in Rome. Now, what was Paul doing in Rome? He was in prison. Do you suppose Onesimus was in prison too? Could be. Doesn't tell us how he met him. I mean, people could come into the prison and Paul would preach to them, and it is possible that Onesimus might have just been walking past the window and he heard Paul preaching and thought, well, you know, that sounds interesting. Maybe I'll go have a listen. That is possible. But it's also possible that Onesimus had gotten himself into trouble, because people that are troublemakers often get themselves into trouble. Maybe he was in there too, and Paul was witnessing to him as another fellow prisoner. I don't know. We don't know where he met him, but here Onesimus meets Paul, and Paul leads him to Christ. And we read over there in let me see where it is, one of the other passages here, and in Philemon chapter 1, verse number 10, it says that he had begotten Onesimus in his bonds. Paul said, while I was in prison, I begot him. That means he led him to Christ. It's a word you would use to say, I just had a child. And he was referring to spiritual things here. He had led Onesimus to Christ while Paul was in prison. So how he got in there, how he met him, nothing is known about that. But we do know that he came to Christ. Now, here's a man who was a troublemaker. He ran away from his master. We don't know why. His master, we do know, was a believer. Why Onesimus ran away? It sounds like maybe he had stolen some things and took off. Don't know for sure, but he wasn't on the level. And now he comes to Christ, and what does Paul say about him now? He says, he is my beloved brother. He says, he is beloved brother. And so that is a commendable thing. You know, it's a blessing that no matter what our past has been, if we come to Christ and put our faith in him, he changes from the inside out, and we become brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's important. We need to remember that. And there's a lot of different personalities that we still have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And some Christians even are more likable than others. All right? We're all different. Not everybody is going to like me. You know, I've got a different personality than somebody else. And maybe same about somebody else, you know. So we're all different, but yet we all have one thing in common. We know Christ is our Savior. It's amazing what a blessing that is to have a bond. You know, when you meet someone, maybe you've gone someplace far away. Maybe you're on holiday and you meet a person, and in just a brief time, you come to figure out this person knows Christ. And as soon as you identify that and confirm that with them, it's like we're old friends. We've known each other forever. And it's because there's a belovedness in Christ. And that's something that we need. That is a wonderful thing. And Paul genuinely loved these men. And love, you know, that we need to understand love. Love, and I've talked about it many times, but it I don't think we really grasp it very well sometimes. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. Love is sacrificial. Paul loved these men. Why did he love them? Because of what they were doing for him? No. He loved them because they were fellow brothers in Christ. And he chose to love them. Love is a choice. And he chose to love them. And he shared their faith and he gave him his love. You know, in ancient times, Jonathan and David were beloved friends. Probably two of the most well-known friends in the Bible. And they sharpened each other. They loved the same God. They built each other up. They encouraged each other. And one preacher I was just listening to not long ago, I guess it was an author, was saying that the relationship between David and Jonathan, the author pointed out that in David's life, all of the problems and troubles that David got himself into were after Jonathan guide. It's interesting. They were holding each other up. They were strengthening each other. That's what we need. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be holding each other up, building each other up, strengthening each other, keeping each other strong so that we don't trip and fall. There's all kinds of problems in our world and all kinds of temptations in our world. And we need to be holding each other strong and helping each other to stand strong in the Lord. David, when Jonathan died, made this statement. He said, "I am distressed for thee, my brother, Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Now, some have suggested that they had an immoral relationship. That's not true at all. He just said that we have a bond around the Lord that is more precious than a sexual bond. It is a spiritual bond. And you know, that's what we need. We need that kind of a bond amongst ourselves with each other. And choosing a beloved friend, we need to make sure that they are a genuine believer and that their testimony stands up to that. You know, choosing friends, there's probably very few things in life that are more critical and more influential on your life than choosing your friends. You choose the wrong kind of friend, they will lead you in the direction they're going. That's just the way it is. And we need to make sure we choose Christian friends and godly friends. So Tychicus was a beloved brother. But thirdly, we see that he was also a faithful minister. A faithful minister. In verse number 7, again, Paul says he was a faithful minister. First, we note here that he was a minister. The word minister here is a word that is often translated in the Bible as deacon or servant. So he was a faithful minister, deacon, or servant. He was one that serves, is basically the idea of the word. He was a server. He was helpful. He was there working with Paul, not for something he could get, not to be able to gain something, but he was there to help him be a blessing. He wanted to be a help to Paul, and so he was there with Paul to work with him, to help serve. And today, most people want to be served rather than serving others. That is just part of our human nature. I admit it. We all know we struggle with that. We all have a tendency to want to be served rather than to serve others. And yet that is a quality of this man. He was a man who was willing to serve others. We read just tonight or during the quiz time about the two sons of thunder, James and John. Remember what they asked Jesus toward the end of his ministry? They said, "Jesus, we want to be able to sit on one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." And what did Jesus say to them? He gave them a bunch of questions to see if they were willing to do what they thought they were willing to do. And in the end, he says, "And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all." Mark chapter 10 and verse 44. God honors humble service. And you know, it's easy to talk about that. It's a totally different thing to humbly do that. To truly humble ourselves and just say, "I'm not in it for what I'm going to get. I just want to be a blessing. I want to help. I want to do something to be a blessing." And that's the kind of a servant Tychicus was. Tychicus was a minister of the Lord, and he had chosen to serve Christ with his life. We also note here that he was a faithful minister. That's significant. The word faithful there modifies his service. And it depicts one who is trustworthy, dependable, believable, and true to his word. You know, a faithful person is consistent. He does not bob up and down like a cork on the rolling sea. He is stable. He is unchangeable. He does not show up late. Or get distracted. He does not go back on his word. He's faithful. You can trust him. And being a faithful minister, Paul knew that he could depend on Tychicus. And that's why he was, as he was finishing up the book of Colossians here, he was going to send the book, and probably the book of Ephesians as well, with Tychicus to take it back to. Now remember, Paul's over here in Rome. And he wanted this to reach the church in Colossae over here in Asia. And it was a long journey, dangerous, and, you know, a difficult path. But he says, Tychicus is a man I can trust. Tychicus will take it back. And like I said, there's good evidence that he probably sent the book of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians back with him as well to these two churches, written the same time, written many overlapping thoughts in these two books to those two churches. But Tychicus was a man who was faithful, and Paul could depend on him to do the job. You know, God wants you to be faithful as a servant in whatever the area that may be. You know, if you're married, that means you need to be loyal to your spouse and to keep your promises to your spouse. Faithful. If you attend school, that means you need to obey the rules and do your work. If you work a job, it means you need to be hardworking and honest. As a Christian, we need to be seeking opportunities to witness for the Lord. I mean, that's what he's left us here for. God wants us to be faithful. And so, whatever the job is that God has given you, God wants us to be faithful in that, doing our best all the time. But we see number four, Tychicus is called here a servant, a fellow servant of the Lord. Fellow servant of the Lord. Verse 7 again, he's a faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord. This is a compound word. It's a word that has two Greek words in it. The first word is soon, which means together with. The other one is doulos, which is a slave. It's a together with slave. It's the idea here, we're both in this together. We're both slaves together of Christ. He's talking about a relationship with Christ. He says he is one of our fellow servants. He and I are in this together, Paul was saying. And I think that Paul was indicating this with the Colossians. Remember this, the Colossian church is reading this, and Tychicus is the one who's bringing it back to him. So he's saying, Tychicus is in it with me. The two of us are one. Two peas in a pod. You know, we're both slaves together for Christ. And he's emphasizing that bond there that he has. And it, being a fellow servant was a humiliating title, really. There's nothing glamorous about being a slave. No slave has ever said, you know, this is an awesome life. Love being a slave. I mean, even if you had a great master, you still don't have any freedom. You're still a slave. There's drawbacks. Even if everything is going really, really well, you're still not with your family. I remember in the story, Uncle Tom's Cabin. If you've never read Uncle Tom's Cabin, you ought to read that book. It's about slavery in America before slavery was abolished. And it's about a slave that was a faithful, godly slave. And his original master was very good to him. But because of financial crises that came into his life, he sold Tom. And Tom first got bought by a slave owner that was very, very kind, treated him well. And he had everything you could want as a slave, except that he didn't have his family. His wife and children were still back with his original master. He had a lot going for him, but he didn't have what he really wanted. And then as you read on the story, that master died and he was sold, and this time he was bought by a cruel master. And it ended up killing him because of the torture and things that he went through. But you think about that, a slave. There's nothing nice about that. And here Paul says, we're bond slaves together. And as a Christian, Tychicus considered himself to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means he gave up his personal rights. And you know, the Lord wants us to do the same. He wants us to be fellow servants with Christ. To be willing to say, it's not about me. Life is not about me. My goals are not about me. I want to serve the Lord. I want the Lord to be the one that gets the honor. And we focus our ambitions on Him. You know, there's such huge emphasis in our world to make a name for yourself, to get a profession or to do something so that everybody knows, or to succeed and you get your, earn your fortune so you can have a nice house and a nice car and a nice boat and all the other nice things and all these, and that's the focus. And God says, that's not what's important. He says, I want you to be a fellow slave and give it over to the Lord. You know, if you're married, that means you need to give everything about your marriage to the Lord. Give over your spouse to the Lord. Give over your children to the Lord. And, you know, even in our jobs, we need to give our jobs to the Lord. And to say, Lord, you're in control. I want to do what you want me to do. And everything we have, we just need to say, Lord, I want you to take control. And we need to voluntarily allow the Lord to be our master, and we serve him as our slave, as his slave. But then lastly, we see here that Tychicus was a trusted representative for Paul. He says in verse number 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Then he tells about Onesimus, and he says, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. What is he saying? He says, Tychicus, you got a message to share. I want you to tell these people a message for me. I want you to tell them all that's taking place here, all of my state. Now, verse number 7. I want you to tell them about us. Tell them what's happening. Tell them how it's going in prison. Tell them how we're being able to share the gospel here. Tell them how God is providing for us and keep it. Tell them how our health is doing. Just give them a full report. And to tell probably not only what Paul was doing, but very likely also what the believers that had started the church there in Rome were doing as they would take this news back to Colossae as a word of encouragement. But he had a mission to fulfill, and that was to not only to share this message, but also to observe the state of the church there in Colossae. Why, did you see that? He says there that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Why did he want to know your estate? Well, evidently Paul said, Tychicus, when you find out how they're doing, please come tell me. I want to know. Paul was burdened for all these people. He wanted to know, how was the church back there in Colossae doing? You know, this is a long time. I haven't seen them for a long time. How are they doing? Wonder how they're getting on. And see, he said, I want you to bring them. He didn't specifically spell it out here, but the very fact that he said that he might know your estate seems like Paul saying, you know, he's going to be sending this message on to me. I want to know. And so he was sent on a mission, not only to gather information, but also, Paul says, to comfort their hearts. I want to comfort. And sharing Paul's testimony, sharing Paul's the things that Paul was doing with them to comfort their hearts. And folks, these are things that all of us can be doing. We need to be sharing about Christ. You know, that's the best thing we can do is to tell our friends and neighbors and others we meet about the Lord. And, you know, we know that, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes people just don't want to hear about it. You know, I did some door knocking this week, and one of my neighbors that I knocked on, you know, as soon as I told him what I was up to, he just swore at me and shut the door. All right. And the next guy I talked to, he looked like kind of the kind that would do the same, but he gladly took the track. He said, oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll have a read of that. You just never know. But we need to keep the gospel out to them. And so we need to share what we have. That's our mission. That's our ministry. We're representing Christ. But also we need to regularly be building up and edifying the believers. We need to help each other, encourage each other, hold each other in prayer, and be a blessing to each other. So we've got work to do. So what kind of example are you to those around you? We need to ask ourselves that question. Do you have quality friends? Are you a beloved brother in Christ? Are you a faithful minister in your own little corner? Are you God's humble slave? Are you seeking to be faithful as his representative to the lost around you and edifying one another? This is what God's asked us to do. We've got lots to do. Keep us busy. And I encourage you tonight, God's looking for more good examples. Tychicus is a great example to follow. And read over that passage again. Think about those things about him. And then ask God to help you to be that kind of an example for the Lord.